This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. Today we are not coming to you live, but we are coming to you talking about round 6. And we're going to go through the big boys, trade targets, and we're going to have some beers at 7 o'clock in the morning. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined by my rival and nemesis this weekend, Luke Rogerson. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Good, mate. It's probably a good thing that we're heading off camping this weekend so we don't have to be all consumed by the Mitchmond-Oxlongs matchup. Mm. But I think we're all sort of pretty confident we know who's coming out on top in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all know. I think we all know who's going to win that one.
Yeah, we do.
Mate, we had some footy last night.
We did have a little bit of footy, and it literally was only a few hours ago because...
Yes, we are recording this very early. We are off into the wilderness and will not have reception. So, to record a podcast without reception.
We wanted to leave it to our last possible opportunity. We're literally heading off in a couple of hours because we just wanted the most up-to-date information. But yes, people are not going to be watching this at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be closer to midday. So, I wanted to make sure that if there was anyone that wanted to have a beer with me this afternoon, this is the variety that I might be drinking this afternoon as well. But I'm going to pop one now just so that...
Yeah, the old breakfast beer.
Just so I can...
The true signs of an alcoholic.
Cheers, everyone. Hopefully you traded in Nick Daicos last month.
Yeah, hopefully. Otherwise, this might be a very sad, sad beer. So, speaking of Nick Daicos, he went bang again. Back-to-back 130s.
Well, we're obviously going camping, but I saw you pitching a tent last night in my living room, mate. Because we were both actively excited by Nick Daicos.
It's very nice to have your trade-in and your captain all sewed up in one fantastic game to start the round. And then you can just breathe a bit more of a sigh of relief, which is what Nick Daicos gave us last night. He was the number one trade target for the Patreon members. So head over to patreon.com/ballboys.
We talked about this with again, the Patreon members on the Wednesday Q&A was the fact that even you don't have to get too tricky, I think, sometimes in fantasy, even though this was the one that everyone was talking about. You know, he showed us the good score last week. He's coming into a better run, more tag free in the next few weeks before his bye. Sometimes you don't have to get too tricky. You just go with the flow. This is one of those weeks, I think.
Yeah, so nearly 14,000 people traded in Nick Daicos this week. So that's nearly 14,000 people that are very, very happy with their trade-ins. But it does put the pressure on those people who maybe couldn't afford or chose somewhere else other than Nick Daicos. But one of those other options that are a bit left field, Ned Long. I think it was a pass mark for him. I think, what do you have, 81? Looks like it could have been more early and maybe slowed down a little bit in the last quarter and a bit. But for where he was priced at, 500 and was it 50K or something like that.
Break even at 24, so it's going to still do wonders for his cash.
Yeah, he'll
generation.
Be over 600K next week. So I think that's a good pass mark for him. I'd be wondering how, if you traded him in, how you got there. I think, again, we were ticking off trading a red dot to him. But if it was a sideways move
or
something like that.
If it was your only kind of upgrade for the week, it makes it a little bit tough. But
we'll see how that goes in the coming weeks.
He does come into a good three-game run here in Essendon, Geelong and Fremantle. So
looks to have the role.
I think you kind of take 81 and bank it.
Yep. But for the Lions, their players and the team in general, very disappointing night. Couple of really dud scores there, highlighted by Will Ashcroft, who threw an absolute stinker of a score. I think he had something like 40, 45 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Quickly checking the stats. But he, it's sort of like these sort of types of players.
41,
yeah, 13 touches, only one mark. So that is poor for rookie standards. So, and he's been a trade-in option for people the last couple of weeks. And we've had players like Soligo, Powell. We've had now Ashcroft. These players put up Callahan. These players that were that little bit under that just have put up some really dud scores, and it really goes to show and highlight the danger of trading in these sort of unproven players and guys who are not quite there, like that little halfway house that you're not so sure of. So does this give us any lessons or anything like that? Like, what can we learn from this these kind of poor scores from these sort of guys?
Yeah, it's hard because you can always point to examples where a slightly unproven guy has gone on to do great things and where a proven guy has ended up doing this kind of stuff. But I think for the most part, the data you'd think would kind of bear out that this time of year, especially when we're kind of trying to get into upgrade season and go one up, one down, you don't want to end up trading in two, three of these guys and then you're looking at your team, you know, come the buys and you're thinking, fuck, I'm not even close to having a completed team.
Yeah, yeah, these guys are going to start to look like issues.
I think guys, you know, I'll use like Christian Petrarca as an example. Like I'm hoping, I haven't traded him in, but I'm hoping that Christian Petrarca gets back over the next kind of 5 or 6 weeks to what we know Christian Petrarca can be. But he to me is an example of a guy, he's underpriced. But we know what Christian Petrarca is. We feel comfortable that there's a pretty reasonably high floor there as well.
Yep.
And he to me fits kind of the bill that you'd go to rather than maybe like a Callahan or a you know, someone that we just haven't seen it from consistently enough.
Yeah, I think the only sort of real mid-pricer in that midfield that's like, or underpriced premium, I should say, that has popped.
Bless you.
Morning.
Because you're not having a beer, mate. Get a beer in to cleanse you.
I think has been Adam Chera. He's been the one guy, I think, in that sort of price bracket that has actually worked. And
I see what you're doing, mate. It's not lost. I'm awake to this. I know it's six in the morning, but I'm awake to this.
He's the only one that hasn't dropped a really stinking score just yet.
You're a dirty dog, Mitch Casey.
But there's still time. We'll see. But there is risk associated, I think, is the takeaway. And I think that is something that, especially when you're trading into, I think starting these guys is a bit different because you haven't used that trade to get them in or whatever. But trading into them, you want to be sure. And so, yeah. And I think a lot of them are like third, fourth options in the midfield.
Yeah.
You know, Ashcroft, Powell, Soligo, Callahan maybe a little different, but yeah, at least those other three guys, like they're not the top two options in terms of the midfields. So yeah, hard for them to be consistent every week. Let's talk about the teams.
I'm wearing my new shorts I was telling you about, by the way, as well.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Look, hold on, you're not wearing any shorts.
the old trick. The old hole in the bottom of the popcorn bucket trick.
No, you are wearing shorts. That'd be weird.
These show off my Dacos radar.
Yeah, speaking of pitch and tense, let's go into the team reactions. And we'll start with the Friday games. And Georgie Wardlaw, the accountant, is back.
Yeah, back to crunch the numbers. And we know that man only plays one position. So what's the...
Back pocket. No, he'll be straight in the guts, you would think.
The reason we've brought him up is more the potential flow-on
effect.
So who do we think is impacted mainly
I think it is Powell. Powell gets impacted. I think Simkin potentially as well. Like, he's been killing it. But he might spend a bit more time forward. Do you think it affects someone like a Sheasel? Sheasel had his highest CBA numbers of the year last week, and the week before he spent most of his time off half back. So a little bit of moving and shaking there.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Sheasel in particular is, like, when we say impacted, well, maybe he's impacted positively where he plays, but but the points I don't think necessarily
get impacted. I think he'll get his regardless, but yeah,
that's how I feel about him. So if you've got a Powell, I'd be just kind of watching that closely, and then a Simpkin as well. It's either one of those two guys in my opinion anyway. You know, LDU staying in there, Sheasel's going to get his, you know, regardless. So
I mean, Luke Parker has actually been the second highest midfielder for CBA so far this season, so I think he is also going to take a bit of a hit.
He can play forward as well, so.
So, interesting to see that.
But, I mean, ideally for fantasy coaches, he's the guy, because I think he's less relevant.
Yeah, no one really has him. Fingers crossed that that's where the impact shows up the most.
The doctor, mate. The doctor.
Dropped. And not the Bulldogs version.
No.
Sam Doherty.
He's been, Carlton fans, I think, have been potentially even...
Calling for this.
Yeah, calling for
it
this.
It hasn't been very
sounds
good.
Sounds mean, doesn't it? But,
I think he scored okay last week. But, I think the what people have been talking about in terms of his effectiveness on the field has not been very positive. So he's been dropped. I know some people might have even traded him in.
He was getting cheap.
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah, and he has been cheap all season. Just flash back to the preseason when we were talking about him a lot as a potential starting option. So,
and you know, he's a proven scorer in the right role. So that's a tough one. But what we were liking out of the team's name for this one is no Mark Pittenette, which is perfect because... we were thinking potentially with some injuries, he could come in and then TDK could spend some more time forward. Not to be. TDK's recovered from his massive cramps last week.
This has to be massively positive signs for TDK because if you're not going to have Harry Mackay there and you're still not bringing in Mark Pittenette, you've also lost another forward in Brody Kemp. So this has to be good signs. Now, it doesn't mean that he'll never come in, but fingers crossed that they... go up. And it's against Tristan Sherry as well. If you're ever going to bring in another ruckman, like, I mean, I know Tristan Sherry's maybe a bit hampered, but...
if you're trying to sign this guy to a multi-million dollar contract, you're giving him every opportunity to do his thing. You're not going to say, we want to sign you, but you're going to play forward and this guy called Mark Pittenette's going to play in the ruck. Mark Pitt a fucking waddy? What the fuck? Get this guy out, bro. Yeah, you want to sign me?
Give me the keys. Otherwise I'm out of here.
I'm going to the Kilda.
Yeah, and I'm taking this... what is he getting, like a $2 million or $3 million deal every year?
Oh, millions. Millions, mate.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, after the 75 last week, I wouldn't be paying that many. But, that's very, very good. On to the other game on the Friday night. West Coast. I've just made a note here that McGovern is back. Jeremy McGovern. And a lot of the reason people were very keen on a Ryan Marich was the fact that McGovern was gone. Do you think this could affect the spongy... halfback for West Coast? Is this... some people I've seen flip the other way and go, oh, this is a good thing because he scored well when McGovern was there a few weeks ago. But
I love the pick and choose too.
Yeah.
Now mate, it might be the same people that were advocating for marriage when McGovern was out. Yet to be seen. Hey, look, if West Coast have, let's quote unquote, discovered Marich in that role and they like what he's doing, then maybe bring him McGovern in. They're not going to change too much. They're still going to let him get his.
He had 21 kicks last week and 10 of them were from kick-ins.
Yeah, and McGovern doesn't... I don't have the stats off the top of my head, but, you know, was McGovern taking kick-ins prior to...
I think he was. Triple-check that one, but he is the sort of type that at least gets a few. So, yes, he was... I mean, he was the second highest.
So there was a game there where Marich had... nine and McGovern had two. So
that was when he got injured.
Okay, yeah. Did he get in? He got 57% talk. Yeah, slightly early in the game. But I think he still probably takes the lion's share.
For Eagles.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, well done. Well done.
Sharp as ever at 7 in the morning, mate.
He is, mate. Yeah, you got your whistle. Well, this is your... you've got the home ground advantage because you're up early for work, mate, whereas I'm the humble teacher, mate.
I slept in this morning till 6:30.
Teachers just roll out of bed at 8:59, don't they?
Yeah, no, you do have it tough. You do it. Very hard, mate.
That's what I've heard about teachers anyway.
Another big name coming back this weekend is Marcus Bontempelli.
Trade him in.
Straight up?
No,
I'd give him a week. But it is, again, some flow-on effects. You know, Sanders has already not been in the midfield. Other players that in there, someone like... is Kennedy? I think he's been in there a little bit.
Maybe Kennedy just takes a back seat. You're still going to have Libby. You're still going to have Richards, I think so. Libba, Richards, Bont, the main three for mine, and then just with a sprinkling of a Kennedy, maybe.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I mean, definitely Kennedy's not been in there Frazier. For
68%. Yeah, Frazier. He was already down to 6% last week. So, I think you just see a little bit of a drop in all of them. Like for example, like Ed Richards and Tom Liberatore are both going 80%. So that might drop down a little bit to the low 70s potentially. Riley Sanders, I expect to be right out of there. Same with I think Kennedy's going to probably take the biggest hit in terms of CBA. So. Not too many like relevant players to be affected, but it is good to see the Bont back, and we'll have to watch and see how well he starts. Maybe he has a slightly slow start, and he might be right for the picking. But again, we'll have to sort of wait and see what goes down. Maybe he's walking straight into a Windhager tag as well.
Can you imagine that? Welcome back!
Welcome back! I'm going to hang off you for the rest of the night.
Oh, man. Something I want to put on the radar just quickly is the Demons swung the axe a little bit and omitted Jacob Van Rooyen and Bailey Fritch. I don't think so, but is there any chance that Petrarca plays more time forward with those guys out, or they've brought in Dizzy Turner and...
Well, Fullerton's a forward, right?
Yeah, so I don't think it's necessarily a thing.
Yeah.
But... Maybe just something.
Yeah, I mean, Petrarca went back up in CBAs last week. The three games prior, he was well down below. I think he might have...
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Popped out at like 53% or something like that.
If we see what we saw, last week, that's perfect. If he maintains that, I expect him to go close to 100.
The best thing, and I spoke about this on the Limit podcast, but he...
You can't get rid of this reflux, mate. Wednesday night, Friday morning.
Well,
you might need to... Take some...
I'm just talking too much shit, really. That's the issue.
Take a breath.
But he... What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So he... the perfect type of trade-in option is when a player... Not like what Nick Dacos did last week, but when a player goes maybe a low ton the week before, you want to trade them in, but you see the signs. Maybe you see... You know, for example, last week, there was a few times where... You know, he was in the forward line and then the team just kicked it over his head. Or he had a tackle and they found a target, so it wasn't the actual plus four. So those kind of things is like the perfect trading target because you see enough, but the score wasn't massive, so the price hasn't risen heaps, and then the ownership doesn't also go along with it. So he's going to be someone that I think is a very good or very important watch this weekend for potentially a trade target next week, although I do think you can go this week. I think he is a very decent option. Lawler is back, your boy. Yeah. Your loop is gone.
Yeah, yeah. That was maybe a blessing in disguise last week with Lawler being
the perfect timing.
Week. Yeah, yeah.
Just in time for you
kissed,
to use it.
Some might say kissed right on the tip, just the way I like it. But Lawler's back. And
still
then,
no Smiley. I want to see some Josh Smiley in the Richmond, but maybe soon.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's going to come just at the right time when we're, you know, there's going to be no rookie options and he's just going to pop his set up. That'll be perfect for us. And then the last one I just wanted to put on the radar is obviously Boyd is still on that extended bench. So don't expect him to play, but it's annoying.
They did say that Rowan Marshall did cop a knock last week.
Rowan Marshall got 150 on one and a half legs.
Yeah, but he was against Sam De Koning. But no, you're right. I mean, Marshall is the...
Yeah. But the main reason I bring it up is it's just annoying. It's annoying it because it's the late...
Hasty's there
as well.
He
plays late. He's the perfect loop option, but he's not the perfect loop option because there's just that... Just that opportunity that you could just have this beautiful VC score and you're rolling into Sunday and then just something happens and in he comes and your whole world is turned upside down.
Yeah, and so at least like this also impacted you. Like you had, again, we're going to go into the big boys in a second, but you had someone higher on the big boys but chose to go with Nick Dacos VC. It's looking like a great move right now.
Decent, yeah.
Because our red dot, our only true red dot on our side is Camporeale because... everyone else is extended bench, purple dots or subs and things like that. And that's almost worse than that really nice red dot. So, definitely something to just keep in mind. And it obviously, I jumped a bit of shadows last week, but it might eventually come and sting us.
Yeah. Okay, mate, you got your goggles?
I feel like I'm going to have a morning blowout doing this first little bit, but we'll see.
Hey, it'll be fun for all of us if you do. Let's go.
Hey, not bad, not bad. Okay, woken up the neighborhood. But let's go. We're talking the big boys. And I have five players. If you didn't have the vice captaincy on Nick Dacos last night, which, to be fair, there was a little, it was Brisbane. They did try and tag him in the third quarter. He didn't actually make my top five. He was at number seven that the patrons would be across. Again, head over to patreon.com/ballboys. But number one this week, and by a fair margin, is the bomber himself, Zachy Merritt, up against the West Coast Eagles, coming off a 130 himself. I don't see a world where this man doesn't go 120.
I reckon he goes less than 100 this week.
Wow. Is that your spicy take?
No.
I mean, the thing is, he's playing... All right. Just trying to steal my segment there.
No, that was a genuine space. Oh, it might come again. What's going on in this room? What's this morning... Morning air.
Yeah, it just...
Got us both.
It's not good. But it is... Like, he's been playing a bit all over the shop in terms of role, like a bit forward. CBAs are down, but he just gets it done. He's such a gun and playing really, really good footy at the moment. And if he plays forward against the West Coast Eagles a bit, he'll probably kick a few goals. So I love him as my number one captain option. Noah Anderson is number two.
Now this is the first time he's featured in the top five this year?
I think maybe round one, okay. he might have been up there, which I think was pretty good. I think he got a 117 at that game, but against the Richmond Pussycats, he's going to be someone that feasts. It is away from home, but I'm happy to dispel the myth that he scores worse away from home.
Okay.
He scores worse in losses. And Gold Coast, they're firing at the moment, and there's no more guaranteed win than against the Richmond Tigers.
Is that a hopeful buzz?
No, they're beyond buzzing the Richmond Pussycats. So I think he's going to go big, and again, I can't see him dropping below a 110. He should get wide open spaces a lot. Number three is our boy Andrew Brayshaw.
Okay.
Small little flag, the Sparrow tag. Although they tried to do that for, like, I want to say 10 minutes against Zach Merritt last week, and they just gave up on it. It wasn't working. It didn't work when they did it against Max Holmes. Melbourne don't know how to tag. And so I think they should just leave it alone. And I think Andrew Brayshaw, even if they do tag, it's probably going to go so wrong.
I thought it did work against Holmes. Was that? I might get my wires crossed.
Well, it kept Holmes to a poor score, but they gave up a record number of uncontested marks and got smashed. So I would say that failed.
Well, it worked for my ranking.
Yeah. And then he went bang the next week.
He did.
Harry Sheasel comes in at number four against the Carlton Blues. Carlton have actually been giving up a fair amount of points to midfielders because they are a rabble. And they don't... You know, Hewitt has been collecting enough footy of himself. He's not tagging right now.
No. No need to. He's the only bloke on the ton run still.
So, Harry Sheasel, I think, is someone who's a gun. He has only dropped under 100 points once this year, and it was a 90. So, just one of the best fantasy players going around. And at number five, it is Max Gawn. He had a great game last week, 118 against Essendon, which were a tough matchup. Now, he got kissed a little bit with the injury to Nick Bryan, but this week against Fremantle, who actually dropped suspended their chop-out ruckman in Patrick Voss. I bet you didn't know that Patrick Voss took one-third of the ruck contest last week.
Big Voss. Even with Shawnee Das back.
Yeah, Shawnee Das came back and played about 60% time on ground, so he's undone. struggling, and I think Max is going to work him around the ground. And any time that you've got Max Gawn going up against a backup ruckman for a third of the game, he's going to absolutely eat on that one. A little concerned that I think that Max Gawn's ceiling is just maybe a little bit less than years gone past, maybe just starting to catch up with him. But I still expect him to go 110, 120 in a matchup where you've got a very unfit Sean Darcy as the...
I thought Shawny Darcy was looking like a racehorse this year. I know he's coming off an injury, but all the word was...
He was in the preseason, but then he did his knee and his knee again and ankle. I can't remember. He had a few different things going on. So I think it's hard to get fit in the midst of a season. So I think it'll take him another few weeks.
There they are, mate. The top five big boys. Where should people go if they want to get all 10?
Patreon.com/ballboys. They come out every Thursday and you get the 10, top 10 in order. And also a bit of a deep dive into why they're where they are, their opponents, some nice stats in there, a prediction in terms of a projection and range, and also some extra ones at the bottom that were unlucky to miss the cut. All right. What do we got, mate?
Do-do-dum. Do-do-dum. Let's go. Hot, hot, hot indeed. It's time for some spicy takes, is it?
I got a spicy take.
My turn to go.
Nick Daicos goes 130 back-to-back weeks.
Fuck, you're good.
Oh, that happened? Oh, let's go.
Did it. Nailed it.
All right, you go first with a real one.
Okay, I'll go first. My spicy take, it's simple this week. Big Wang.
What about the football?
Large Wang.
What about the footy?
Nasai Wanganeen Miller, goes big.
He goes big.
I think it's Big Wang this week. I've decided that, he's going all right, but I think...
He was spongy last week.
This week is his first opportunity for a big ceiling score. And a reason I think that this is a bit spicy is because there's maybe a few, whispers of, well, what's his change in role? What's Wang doing higher up the ground? But,
hello.
We just had a
little visitor coming on at 7 in the morning.
A little visitor drop in their pyjamas. Go back to mum, hey? I think that Wang goes 130 plus this week. Mm. Dispels any, rumours that there's a change in role or anything like this. And this is my spicy take.
Well, defenders against dogs has always been a juicy role. And he's doing the Sheasel thing. Only one score below 100 and it was a 90. So he's been very consistent so far this week.
I think it's his opportunity to go big this week. So spicy take is Large Wang.
I've got a very optimistic and positive take here. I'm always very supportive of everyone on this podcast. And I think it's a big week for the Oxlongs. Speaking of Wang going large, the Oxlongs at the end of this round are shooting to the moon and they're going to find themselves in the top 1,000. They're going to crack the top 1,000 in scoring.
Don't take the audience for idiots, mate. You're transparent.
No. You're going big this week. I believe in you. Your team is looking very nice. Oh. I helped you with your trades this week. You're welcome.
This is horrific.
You were not going to have Daicos this week until I found a solution for you.
I certainly was going to have him.
I think the Oxlongs, mate, you are on for some big things this year. I think this is your year. We might actually have two hats on the podcast.
Oh. This is getting worse and worse as it goes. Horrific from you, Casey. Horrific from you. Do you have a real one? Do you have a real spot?
No, that's my actual spot. I think you're set for big things this year, mate.
Okay, this is horrible.
Your team's looking great, I will say. I would rather your team than my team at the moment.
You might just go missing on this camping weekend, mate. You might find yourself in a ditch. Okay, spicy takes. Obviously, we're not live, but we're going to premiere this video, which means that there'll be that comments section you can get your spicy take in the comments. And the idea, hopefully, is that you guys still get in the comments and chatting with each other. And basically, we're just kind of background noise to the chat.
Yeah, don't send in any super chats.
Do
if you want to just, be a nice guy, but we're not going to be able to answer any questions in terms of that. So, but yes, we will be back to the normal live show next week. But this time we're hanging out with a fan. Yep. All right, let's talk about some, instead of in absence of the questions, we'll just talk about some hot topics, some things this week that may have come up as questions. And I want to start with the rookies because we've got a few different options. A couple play tonight or this afternoon in Sardar Hooley and Tom Gross. I've settled on this ranking, Caden Cleary as number one and will be my trade-in option this week. I think yours as well. Sardar Hooley, if he's not the sub, I think I would have at number two. The good thing is he plays the same game as number three, Tom Gross. So If you have the ability to switch across to a Tom Gross, then if he is the sub, you can easily make that move. If it does affect your ability to make your trades, I'd probably think Tom Gross is safer. His job security, I think, is very, very good. But Sardo Hooley against the West Coast Eagles, when putting up a 70 in 60% TOG last week, I think he and is 60K cheaper. So he stands to make more cash, but is the riskier option. So I think Cleary is kind of head and shoulders number one, and then two and three, I think you can coin flip depending on your risk appetite. And then a distant fourth, I've got Matt Carroll there for the Blues. I just haven't seen too much. It was against the Eagles, so Eagles, I think, you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, maybe a slight bit of trouble there because Carroll is on the cheaper end, I think, very similar to El Hooley.
He plays before.
Yes, so that's the only thing that I'll say is just pay attention to that, because if you're hoping on El Hooley but can't quite afford Gross because you've traded in Dacos or your trade-in target is a bit more expensive and Carroll's named.
I didn't love the bench for Essendon. So on the bench, you've got Hobbs, Satterfield, Perkins, Menzie, and El Hooley.
Could be Menzie.
No, Menzie, I think, has been playing well. I mean, Satterfield, although he had a good game and they're using him, but they've been using him as a defensive mid and there's no one really to be defensive on at the Eagles. So maybe him, but my money out of that bench, I think Sardar Hooley is going to be the sub.
See, this is the trouble. So I guess, yeah, if you're in that situation where you just need to sew one up and Carroll himself isn't the sub, like... Would you risk, if you've already bought in Nick Dacos and you need a trade-in target that's basically Sardell Hooley price and Carroll's named, and you look at that bench, like...
I think I'd just go Carroll.
Yeah.
I think I'd just go Carroll if I needed that. I traded in Dacos last night. I mean, it's worked out great. But I think I would say it's greater than a 50% chance that he's the sub. Now, I've got him ranked at number two if he's not the sub, because I think that's a positive sign and it's going to score well this week. You could even put him on your ground. But if I had to put money on it right now, I'd say he is the starting sub based on that bench.
It's the order of the games that's
it's not been ideal
this week. No.
Not been ideal. So I think Gross is fine. Like a top three, I'm all for. So if you can get Tom Gross in and still make your trades work, then I would probably go there. If you can afford to wait, say you are bringing maybe Petrarca, then I would wait. If Sard Hooley is not the sub, I'd go there. If he is a sub, switch over to Tom Gross, and that's an easy trade. But yeah, the Matt Carroll there, if you needed that trade for the trade you did last night in Dacos, then I think he's probably the safer option at least to play.
Now, a question that was pretty popular on Wednesday's Q&A podcast was about double downgrading. So I think if I kind of read it correctly, I think that there's a few people that, you know, maybe they didn't pocket as much cash or whatever the case is, and they've gone to try and do their upgrades this week, and they're just not quite happy that they're getting an upgrade that they're satisfied with. So then that brings in the idea of a double downgrade. What are your initial thoughts on double downgrades this week?
Now, I'm not someone that goes flat, no, you can't double downgrade. And I know there's some good coaches out there that will still do it at this time of year. My strategy and my blueprint, if you will, is that you've missed the opportunity now to double downgrade. We are in this upgrade cadence race at the moment where we are trying to get rookies off-field, shit mid-prices off-field and getting premiums onto our field. And by double downgrading, you're missing a week's opportunity to do that. So you're going to fall behind and that can snowball. So I am not a fan of double downgrading now. I think there's nothing wrong with getting one rookie this week, one rookie next week. You may be paying a little bit more, but get those points on field. And if you're targeting an underpriced premium, you might be able to make up that cash loss a little bit on the upgrade side of things. For example, Nick Dacos is going to go up like 40K this week, which might be maybe a touch under what a Tom Gross does, but you know, not too much of a loss there. Plus, you got a good score, and hopefully other options can do something similar. So for me, I would not be looking to double downgrade. For example, I know that the great man DT Lemon, he says if you can't get to the player you want, just double downgrade and you get someone else next week. I would explore other options. I would rather trade out a more expensive rookie like a Davidson or a Hugo Garcia to make that upgrade possible. Maybe you're cutting yourself short of, you know, 20, 30K that they could still make. But I would like to get that upgrade done first rather than double downing.
It probably speaks to, I mean, you mentioned Lemon there and like, you know, Lemon's a fantastic coach. But when you said it, it made me think, like, Lemon always comes home like a house on fire.
Yeah.
So it's the potential where he's going, okay, I'm going to just double down, grab, prioritize the cash gen, and maybe his team is a little bit behind come certain stages of the season, but then that guy always comes home like a house on fire. So it's maybe two different ways of playing.
It's not to say that that can't work.
Yeah. It's just not the way you play.
If you're asking me the question, that's how I've done it, and that's sort of my strategy. So that's just my opinion, I guess. But I could be wrong. Yeah. But I think there are some decent rookies, but I don't necessarily think they're also like there's, I don't think there's a Riley Bice in this crop, you know, where you absolutely have to get them. They're going to score like premiums. If that was the case, you had a couple of Riley Bices in there, then you might make an exception, but I don't see that with these guys.
So I think given that, you know, we're talking about must upgrade, let's talk about some upgrade targets. So there's
Nick Dacos.
Yeah. I would advise him this week. I feel like he's going to go well.
Yeah, I reckon 131.
Got this inkling. Imagine a spicy take where you predicted the exact score.
Yeah.
Just start throwing those in there.
That'd be nice. Remember that time I predicted like 8 scores in one game?
No, I don't remember.
That was pretty good.
So given that people might be strapped for cash, let's talk about a few of the underpriced premium options. And not only because people are strapped for cash, but this is the way you ideally want to play it. If you can afford to get a Zach Merritt this week, but instead you can trade in a Nick Dacos, let's say, I know that the ship sailed.
120K saved.
You've saved 120K, and yes, Zach Merritt might also give you a 130, but now that Dacos has done that at lesser price, you've now pocketed that cash, so next week your upgrade is going to be so much better than what it might have been, or maybe you just get to that play that you wanted that you otherwise wouldn't have got to. That's the way to play the game, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the ceiling that you can get. So before last night, you would have thought, okay, I have Zach Merritt as my number one captain. Two things can be true. I can have Zach Merritt as my number one captain and not recommend him as a trade target because we're playing this long game. We're at round 6 of 24. Like, there's still so much time left to go. And I'll sort of mention this on the Q&A podcast. Like, it's going to get hard. These last few rookies are going to be hard to upgrade. Like, we're talking about Nick Dacos, who's cheap, but he's still $1 million. You know, these guys that are good players are not going to get much below 900,000. And to get a rookie who maybe is topping out at 6, maybe the great rookies are topping out at 700,000, there's still a big gap there. And when we start to get into the, you know, weeks 8, 9, 10, 11, like, those upgrades are going to be difficult to do if you've got no money left in the bank to get one rookie down, one rookie up. So it's these kind of weeks where it might not show up next week. It might not even show up the week after, but in 3-4 weeks, you're going to be able to make those upgrades where others who went early on the Zach Merritts are not going to be able to do. So one option, and I haven't, not this is not with any order, but I want to talk about Petrarca first.
Yeah.
Obviously, the new DPP helps. He's priced at 90. Last year, he averaged 90. So I think there's a little bit of risk in terms of he's not like heaps of value, but I feel very safe that you're at least paying fair value. He's averaging 89 already this season, and you would have to say that so far he's been underwhelming. Yeah?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So he's priced at what he's averaging.
For me, the key number is not what necessarily he averages for the rest of the season, but what he averages to the buy. Because I'm not saying he's a guy that you're going to have to trade at his buy, depending on what he does, but if you're picking him now as an underpriced premium price at 90, you'd like a little bit of sugar between now and the buy to get you through. And so,
but even if he does go 90 as a forward, like, that is,
it's solid. The forward's huge for it. It's not as far off the pace as he would be as a midfielder. And the thing I like, if you're looking at him as a trade target this week, the thing I like is Fremantle, Richmond, West Coast in the next three. I think is positive. And if he stays in that role where he's playing, I think he had 20 CBAs on the weekend. If he keeps that up, over these next 3 weeks, maybe it's a little bit of wishful thinking, but I anticipate that he could even be 100+ guy. So you're getting 10 points of value next 3 weeks. And remember, so much can happen in fantasy in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you pick Petrarca, you get 3 weeks of hundreds, you know, even, you know, wishful 105 or something from him. That's amazing. 3 weeks' time, there's more shit to worry about. Hopefully he, you know, he's a guy that's served his purpose, so to speak, and you're worrying about other things anyway.
Yeah, 100%. And who's to say what's going to happen in that midfield over the, you know, heaven forbid, touch wood, like someone like a Clayton Oliver or Jack Viney misses a week or two there, like he can easily have a lot of upside there. So, and I think the floor is basically what you're paying for. I don't think there's a world where he burns you with that selection. And as a forward, you can definitely hide behind that. So I think he's a very good target. Personally, I'm looking to target him next week going into that two-game excellent run with Richmond West Coast back-to-back. But if you get him this week, guess what? You still get him for those two matchups, and then you can look at something else next week.
Freo is not the worst matchup.
It's a good matchup. So another player, a couple of T's, Tom Green and Tim Taranto. Little bit of price difference, but Tom Green is someone I traded in a couple of weeks ago, and he is just getting it done, man. He is still, I think, at the moment, averaging the highest disposals in the comp. Coming up against Adelaide, which isn't necessarily an easy matchup, but we saw someone like Max Holmes, I think, go there, Adelaide last week. He went really big. And they don't tag, I think, is the main thing.
Yeah.
So the tags have been going to Callaghan. So I know he's got a Sydney matchup in round 8. James Jordan matches up better with Callaghan. And so I think that's maybe sometimes the line of thinking that Tom Green is just too big for some of these taggers. So
the other thing too is James Jordan doesn't mind going to halfbacks as well. And we know that GWS have some very talented halfbacks. Yeah, yeah. So good thing that I see with Tom Green as well is he has his ceiling scores when his mark numbers are up. So in the first two games of the season for him, he had one mark and he went a 104, not the worst. He went a 91. And then in the 2 weeks just gone, he's had five marks in both of those games and he's gone his 121, 108. So yes, granted, a couple of big fourth quarters to get there in both those games. But
good players can do that.
If you have a look at his next, let's call it six games, three of those six games are great matchups. You've got the Bulldogs, you've got Geelong, and you've got Geelong, Freo, Bulldogs, and Richmond over if you take it to like a seven-game spot. So 4 out of 7, that's good. In my opinion, and that almost gets him getting close towards his bye there. So
he does also have the round 16 bye, which I don't think we're going to have many players. Like, I think Brisbane that has that bye? Yeah, Brisbane, you've got Geelong, which you're not really having anyone in your midfield from Geelong. Essendon, I think, is the other team. So, yeah, you might have your Zach Merritts, but again, if you're following our strategy and not targeting someone expensive like that, Tom Green might be one of the few round 16 midfielders in your team, which I think is good for your balance.
Talk to me about Tim Taranto, Mitch.
I think he is doing enough. I know that he hasn't had a big pop score, but like I said before, these kind of players that things go differently. Like, he was on 65 at halftime. I think he had something like an 8-point third quarter or something like that. Ended up with a 97 last week. He has played some really tough matchups so far this year and has not played any of the top five easiest matchups. Now, granted, one of those teams is Richmond, so he can't play them.
He's on the same field as him every week.
The only decent matchup, so I think the only matchups he's had that are like the top half in terms of fantasy points conceded have been St. Kilda, who tagged him like in that game, so it wasn't easy for him.
Yep.
I still don't know why they bothered tagging him. And Freo, which he scored a 97, which is solid, and he was on track for a big score at halftime. He had a ton against the Lions. So Carlton, 89. The only really poor score so far was against Port Adelaide, and we know that they're a very tough matchup. And 84 in a tag, I think, is fine. Price at 90-ish, I still think that this guy can be a 100 averaging player. I don't think he's a top 8, don't get me wrong. But he is still very much highly in those CBAs. Yeah. He's still getting the marks. He's still getting the tackles.
Well, I'd contest you on the marks slightly. Last week he did. He had 4 marks, 7 tackles. The thing with Taranto is we know when he has his big ceiling score, the marks are there as well.
Yeah. I think the teams he's played have been very restrictive in that department particularly.
I'd agree with that. And I think Richmond, I maybe expected them to chip it around a little bit more this year. They've gone faster than I thought. But I think, like you say, when they get into some good matchups, there's some that they have coming up. I think that he can feast.
I know people are scared by the Richmond's scoring ability, but they are averaging more points so far this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
And I think there could still be a bit more of that chipping around. I think that round one win maybe not tricked Richmond into thinking that they were further along than they are, but I think when you're getting into the colder months and things like that, and you know, we're getting belted every week. There will have to be a slight shift.
Well, Melbourne, Eagles and Essendon in his next six as well. So they've all been giving up plenty of marks.
Yeah, so I think Tim Taranto, if he's the best you can afford in terms of a midfielder, if you're looking that way, below 900,000, I like him a fair bit.
So you wouldn't would you take him over Tom Green? You're saving 100K, which is...
I would prefer Tom Green, because I think Tom Green's a guy you're going to basically have for the rest of the season. So I think... Tom Green, I think, is priced at 104 or thereabouts, and I think he can go 110. I think, Taranto is priced at 90. I think he can go 100. So there's more quote-unquote value, but he might be someone that you trade later on. So I'd go Tom Green ahead of him, but again, if all you can afford is Taranto, I think I wouldn't feel too bad about it. A couple of questionable... Well, I've got question marks on their names. Some names have been brought up to us in the last couple of days. Jai Newcomb.
I got less question marks here than you. Well, maybe not less question marks, but I think, more willing participant than you.
So he's priced at 97. What did he do last year as a total? I'm gonna find that out. But basically, he went big against Port Adelaide, which is a tough matchup, and now he's got that 5-game run, which we've been talking about for Will Day to this point, and he's got it now. So what are we? Are we saying that, okay, Will Day was going to go big, Newcomb's going to go big? The difference, I think, here is he's priced at 97, Will Day was priced in the 80s at the time.
Yeah, the run to me is everything. It's not to me as simple as like, oh, Will Day was out last week and Jai Newcomb had the best scores, thus he's the guy that's going to pick up the Will Day slack. I don't think it's that simple, but for a guy that has a proven ceiling that, you know, is on the cheaper end of the spectrum, going into Geelong, West Coast, Richmond, and, you know, Hawthorn, I'm not going to say Hawthorn need to win, but Hawthorn are going to have a little bit of a point to prove over the coming weeks with what just happened to them against Port Adelaide as well. So this to me is one of those ones where, like, if you, A, like a bit of risk, B, maybe like Jai Newcomb, and... you know, see, want to have a little bit of a pod play that could go well over the coming weeks. I think this one is not out of the realms of possibility. Is it the right time of the year to be looking for a pod? Maybe not. Is that kind of the way that you see it?
Yeah, again, I'm still not looking at ownership figures basically at all. I'm not saying you can't pick someone who's lowly owned. I'm just saying I don't want that to be a reason you're picking them.
Is there also an argument to say, like, Jai Newcomb, I'm imagining Jai Newcomb scores a lot of his points in and around stoppage, and we've just seen West Coast have an extraordinary low stoppage game where players were impacted that by that as well. So, like, maybe these matchups look good on paper, but aren't as good as we first think. Or
I want to fact check that, because I'm not professing to be the stoppage scoring kind of guy, but he's always been a guy you think he tackles. He doesn't actually get, I mean, historically, as many tackles as you would think. You know, the last 3 years in a row, he's averaged 4.5 tackles, which is well down to what I thought he would be. I thought he'd be like a 6.5 tackle sort of a player. But his career high in points per game is 93, and he's already priced over there at 97. So you're expecting this player to go at career best levels. And I know he's got a good 5-game stretch, but again, you're picking a player for now until the end of the buys. Round 15. Mm. Look, there's not even that many difficult matchups after that, like Brisbane, Collingwood, Western Bulldogs and Adelaide. So
it's a great run.
It is a really good run. There's no tough matchups. He's already had the tough matchups in GWS, Port Adelaide and Sydney. So I do think that you can get maybe a player. I think from now until his bye, I think he can average, let's say, I think he can average 100.
You'd have to be willing to, if he gives you one of his Jai Newcomb floor scores, I think you'd have to be willing to just hold and ride it. That's probably a little asterisk, is if you're picking him, okay, you're in it to the buys.
You are.
You can't be trading him out because, A, you know, well, just not even A, just full stop, you're ruining your upgrade cadence by shifting him again.
And that's the thing that just makes me hesitant. I've seen this guy go big scores and then follow it up with 80s, 90s just for multiple weeks in a row. So I'm a little bit skeptical, but I do think he has all the opportunity in the world right now, right in front of him. And if he's ever going to go big, it is now. So I think it is an okay gamble. I just still have some question marks personally. But yeah, I agree. If you're going into him, you're holding until his bye.
Okay, a couple more players to do, and we'll let these people
Let's maybe go to his teammate, Dylan Moore, because this is an interesting one.
Okay.
Forward line, very cheap. $790,000, I want to say. $799,000, so just below that $800K.
So the reason he's come onto the radar is because he had CBAs last week, Mitch. But is this just, Nash gets injured halfway through the game and they throw Dylan Moore. I don't know. Do you know when Dylan Moore had those CBAs?
So he had 3 CBAs in the first half and then he had 16 in the second half. And yeah. Connor Nash got subbed out before halftime.
That
tells you something. So I think the key is that Nash. And did Nash get... I mean, no, they're the Monday team. So I think Nash is a test to play. So either he's back this round or the round after.
It'd be worrying to pick more based on that, knowing that Nash is either in this week or in next week. And I
would love to watch another week.
Yeah, but even if you... Like, let's say Nash is out and you watch another week and Moore has 25 CBAs and goes 110.
The perfect scenario is you watch another week, Nash is back, and he still gets 50% CBAs, and then you go, I have all the confidence in the world, I'm going to launch into him. I think that's unlikely. Yes.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Dylan Moore, however, that you'll need to watch is Dylan Moore is going to benefit from good games too. Mm-hmm. So they're going into, of course, the exact same run that Jai Newcomb's going into. So
I think that's the safety of it. We've seen him average 90 as a forward before. He's actually priced at like 83. So he's a value as a forward anyway.
Yes.
With the potential like lottery upside that if he is the CBA midfielder, he is an awesome pick going into a great run of play. And you can hide behind the forward status a little bit there. So I think that there is definitely a reason you should be looking at him. I mean, if he's all you can afford to, I'd still rather bring in him than do a double downgrade.
We expect Dylan Moore to average what he did last year or better. Like, and the fact that he's had a slow start to the season, well, yeah, I'm no mathematician, but the way averages work, it means he has to make those points up somewhere and no better place to do that.
You could see him going 95 from here for the rest of the season, even as a forward. And I think there's a little bit upside there. So he's probably the cheapest player that if he's all you can get to, that I'd still feel okay. There is risk, I think, obviously, with someone like that role, there's some volatility. But if he plays forward against West Coast, Richmond, Melbourne in the 3-game stretch, like, fuck, he could... You'd maybe almost prefer and play forward in those matchups.
Yeah.
So I think there's some ceiling scores there, regardless of role. I prefer him to be in the CBAs at least a little bit. I think he is definitely someone you could consider as the cheapest upgrade alternative. From cheap to the other end.
Yeah, I finished my beer, so you got one more player.
Zachy Merritt. He's a gun, right?
He's a gun with a run.
He's the number one big boy. Can we trade him in? We sort of alluded to it already that
it's
personally
the cost down the road.
I'm avoiding these players. He's priced at 116. Now, if you could guarantee me that between now and the rest, now until his bye, he goes 125, I'd 100% he'd be the number one trade target.
Trade him in.
I am basing what I think is going to happen on historical data. Last year, no midfielder went over 110.
That's a slight anomaly.
He has never averaged more than 113. He's been between 107 and 113 his whole career. Remarkably consistent. So he'd have to break his career high and do it by a fair margin for this to be a worthwhile trade. I know he's got some good matchups coming up, but we see good matchups fall over all the time. Tom DeConing. So just because you've got a good matchup does not guarantee... I mean, look at Zorko a couple of weeks ago. Prime example, has Richmond, was the number one big boy that week. Everyone was getting him in. He had the run coming up. And since then, he's popped some really poor scores and is right back. There is nothing, I think, but downside in trading in these players.
That's a good example, actually. I mean, it's not, like you say, it's not guaranteed to happen. There is a world where Merritt goes crazy. But
that is a big risk.
Yeah, and you... Yeah, I think you stand... The other thing that, and you always talk about this, is that the flip side of it is, you know, Zorko has a couple of these scores. Well, the rest of us are sitting around kind of circling like sharks thinking, okay, well, you know, he's going to come down in cash. And if we're able to pick that player up cheaper, let's say Zach Merritt just drops an absolute anomaly and it, you know, those happen sometimes, you know, we're all getting in at a cheaper price than what you did, and it's just disaster.
Yeah. So for me, if you ask me the question, can I trade in Zach Merritt? I mean, you can. I personally would not. I would be looking for someone cheaper than him as an option. But again, different ways to play this game, but that's my strategy. We might leave it there, Luke.
I think so, mate. Hopefully, even without the normal question time, we're able to kind of answer a few things there. And be helpful for people on a Friday.
And enjoy your long weekend, guys. Smash Easter. All that chocolate. And we'll see you guys Well, when we record, because there's a Monday game. When is the Monday game? Let's workshop this right now.
We'll just do this on the fly.
3:20. Yeah, so we'll probably still do the Monday evening podcast. Yeah. So straight after that game of the footy, we'll catch you guys then, and hopefully it's a successful round for everyone. Bye.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.